Welcome to the Hour of Truth, and I have Phil Walthall with me.
Hi.
I have Scott Bishop with me.
Good afternoon and morning to everyone.
Both to my right, and way out on the left is James Usler. So we ought to have...
Hello, everyone.
We ought to have people beating each other up to try to get a hold of a mic. So that's what I'm hoping for. Did anybody hear Steve? I didn't get to hear Steve. I had stuff going on.
I did.
All right. You got any? Can you enlighten us a little bit? What did he talk about?
Well, Charlie started, and he was talking about a time in his past where he had a lot of judgment towards someone. And he read the scripture about don't worry about the mote in your brother's eye when you have the beam in your own. And then Steve on it about inside just the fellowship. Been talking about outside of the fellowship. Where, you know, it's easy to go out into Texas sometimes and see things you can't believe happen. And just the judgment that comes with it. And then that's not a place to be. And it's not sharing that love that we're supposed to have one for another. And it's a very place to be.
The unsettling part of it is judge not lest you be judged in the same manner you judge other people. And that's going to stink. It when it comes back on you, it'll stink to be you.
I know for me, the last thing that I want is to be judged. So the easiest way to avoid that is not to judge others. Yeah, that's a simple thing right there. I don't know any one of us that, you know, would withstand a judgment.
No.
So we just need
My job. That's a higher pay grade.
Yeah.
Definitely a higher pay grade than mine. I hope they're not beating down the walls to the mic. Oh, me. It is part of the system that we're trying to, trust and believe Jesus to withdraw us from to his kingdom. The system where we're about, justifying ourselves so that we can do our own thing. We've decided we want to do a such and such, so now we have to have some kind of offsetting good work, something that'll keep, you know, God at abeyance so that we can get through this thing and to do what we want to do. That's how we're hardwired until we get the wiring fixed, until we get it rewired like it's supposed to be in the Spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ. The self-justification is the way we work. And you gotta be better at that than I can be to make that work or even appear to work. It doesn't ever work.
Well, sure. It's not... I mean, it's a simple thing, but it ain't easy. Because, like you said, I mean, that's what we've been doing our whole life until Christ, and we have to shed ourselves of that.
That's right. I'm trying to think of a place to go to. Let me think of an example. This whole thing of maintaining the attitude of Israel, the Israelites, is it's in support of our pride and our arrogance and our false presumption, I might add, false presumption, that everything's all right. As long as we can do enough offsetting stuff, then we're going to be all right. But you do not succeed.
Right, and that offsetting stuff somehow in our own minds makes it so that we feel as though we're saved, as though we're justified, and
right,
that other person is not.
Right. I'm just reading the chat. You know, David says most people do not understand the judgment in that verse. It deals with judging whether or not one is saved. We judge every day. When we see someone, we judge whether or not they're a man or a woman. Of course, he's not talking about that kind of judgment. That's just calls you using your brain for something that's not a hat rack. Something other than a hat rack, I should say.
So my boss used to tell me all the time. He'd be like, now that's using your head other than the hat rack. All the time. This cool boss. I liked him. Taught me a lot of things.
And as I press forward, you're trying to bail this out. Our tendency, even inside the body, is to go back to self-justification and that kind of behavior. And that's why we don't partake of that which Jesus offers. You know, he offers a cessation of warfare with God. He offers you the ability to be free from the bondage of sin. But we slip back into our old ways, even inside the body, and you get James 4 dumped all over you. From whence come wars and fightings amongst you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in you members? There you go. There you go. That's the source of all of our struggles at this point. And our lusts are to justify ourselves amongst others. That's what the flesh seeks to do. That's what that old man wants to do, is to justify himself. And that's the source of all the warfare. You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Not because God's a mean guy and wants to deny you all this stuff. You're going after this thing with the wrong attitude, the complete wrong attitude. It's about satisfying yourself and pleasing yourself, and not about pleasing him. You know, the same thing we want to talk about in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, where, you know, we did all these wonderful things in thy name, and Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. It's about motivation. Why did you do this? They did it to be seen doing it, to get the glory themselves, to be, you know, thought of as good workers, as being really good Christians. All of that is all the wrong reason.
Self-justification.
That's it.
Not justified by the blood of the Lamb.
That's it. When you walk out of that, you are out of grace. Grace doesn't cover you anymore, because you're seeking to cover yourself. That's the same thing as the accusation to the Galatians of going back to the law. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who's deceived you? Who's put you under a spell to blind your eyes to see that this is the stuff we were set free from? But, you know, any one of y'all can chime in at any time.
You seem to be handling it pretty well right now.
That's what I was thinking.
One of the things that you see out there is, you know, with this justification is, you know, I'm right because I do this, you're wrong because you don't, or you do the other.
Right.
And you're thinking, well, you know, I'm right because I do this or don't, and you're wrong because, you know, the same thing. But really what it is we're both wrong. He is righteous.
That's right.
He's the one. I mean, you see that with David, too. I mean, all the people, you know, considered him a sinner. But his sin was against God. It wasn't against the people.
That's right.
But they're trying to drag him down there. But he recognized rightly who he needed to go to for forgiveness and whose righteousness he needed to seek. And we all need to be in that same place. I mean, how are we to judge, you know, I guess in a way we can judge right and wrong, but we can't really judge good and evil because we're evil. I mean, what he did with Bathsheba, that was probably wrong. But the Lord took that and redeemed it mightily.
It would have, if it had stopped there, it might have even been forgivable by the people.
Sure.
But it didn't stop there.
But he was a man.
What?
He was a man.
Right.
It he didn't. Did stupid. Continually. But relied upon his righteousness and his grace to cover him.
It was compounded by sending your eyes out.
Yeah.
To get killed. That was it was just compounding the error.
I mean, reading that, I can see how easily I myself have done similar things. I mean, I haven't sent people to get killed, but I mean, shoot. I try to cover my
butt. Not good enough to just get your foot stuck in your mouth, but take it up to the knee.
Oh, yeah, go all the way.
Amen.
And one of the things that we were talking about down here in South Carolina was casting all your cares upon him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, why do you care? Why do you care what somebody else does or doesn't do? You know, why are you trying to judge or justify yourself as being better than somebody else or saved or not saved and just cast it all upon him?
It was just recently somebody was doing John chapter 21. I don't remember now which one it was, which particular service it was. I don't know. But what is John chapter 21 about? John chapter 21 is about Peter and Jesus having this conversation where he's saying, do you love me? Do you agape me? He says, yeah, I feel you. Like, he can't tell that we're using a different verb.
They did that in the during the Texas Conference. Yeah. I remember that, yeah.
Okay, I knew I'd heard it. And he goes back and forth. When he finishes with Peter, he says, feed my flock. Feed the lamb. Feed my lambs. And Peter says, well, what about this guy? And he says, what's it to you? Well, you come into 1 Peter 5. It seems as though Peter got that.
It took him some time.
It did.
But he did get it.
But you see that with Peter a lot.
But the other thing you see with Peter, though, too, did the Lord stop working with Peter after that conversation? No.
No.
I mean, you've seen him in Acts.
No.
There was still some time that, yeah, it took a long time, but still... Did Peter's hands not go towards the work of the Lord the whole time? Even though he had some issues and had to get some things straightened out on, no, this he still went forward and the Lord still worked with him, and the Lord's and Peter's hands was to the work of the Lord. And so, I mean, regardless, I say that from the standpoint for all of us. I mean, gosh, I know there's a lot of things that need to be straightened out within me. But still, that doesn't keep me from going forward in the Lord now. You know, at this time. You know what I'm saying? Something that kind of brought to my attention there. Because Peter was very still profitable for the Lord. Only because of the Lord being with him. And, you know, the Lord's good. But
this wasn't a test that was designed to trip him up. This was him, Jesus trying to narrow his focus down to what we should be looking at. And Jesus was not, this was not an attempt to cast Peter off.
No, by no means.
To show Peter that he was committed to it. He was committed to it.
Oh, and he was. And even though he had these struggles and didn't come, like you said, it took a while. Even though, I mean, the Lord was still committed to him because the Lord was with Peter. Till he got to that place. I don't know. He could have been an old man by the time he got to the place of some realizations. He was going, oh my goodness, you know. But still, the Lord worked with him.
And was
faithful. I mean, it shows the Lord's faithfulness.
When I read, you know, 1 Peter 5:2, feed the flock of God which is among you. I mean, that's right out of John 21. It's exactly what Jesus told him. And now he's telling the other elders in the Lord, feed the flock. Feed the flock.
Yeah.
They need it, and you can do it. So you need to be doing it. Yes, you need to be about the business of bringing them along. Anyhow, it's just you get these little insights into the end process where the guys got it. The guys got it, and they got it well enough that they could give it. And that, when you resolve that that's what you're going to be about, then you've abandoned all hope in your ability to self-justify. That makes you meek when you have no trust in yourself. You trust in Jesus and the completeness of what he's done for us. You don't trust yourself to make enough good points to offset the bad points. Because that's, you're going to be chasing that forever. It's never going to work. Never going to work.
And go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we are justified by the faith of Christ, by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
That's right.
Amen. And you know what I was going to talk about on that? I mean, you can't, from understanding the point that, man, you can't offset the right with the bad. You can't do that. And no, I mean, if you look at the redemption of the Lord in our lives, and you just look at that, the only way that that could be done was by Jesus Christ. I mean, you're just talking about David. There's redemption there. And you can see where what happened out of that whole thing with Bathsheba and Uriah is that the Lord showed David the gospel. And it's written in Psalms what happened to Jesus on the cross. I mean, he's seen it before it happened. And you see the Psalms written out and the grace and the mercy of the Lord and the gospel being preached out of that choice of David sinning against the Lord. And see, that's where the Lord can redeem the time. And I know he's done in my life many times, and I'm everybody here. And you know, you doing it, that's never going to fix anything. What you doing it is going to be more like what David did, which compounds the compounds the issue.
Yeah. You see the tender mercy.
Right, exactly. So I mean, that's where you just, you know, you let it go to the Lord. Be open before him and honest. Let the Lord do the work. In the sense of getting out of the way.
Now it's clear that David got it.
Right.
Clear.
Well, David knew that he had, that the Lord would have been righteous to have judged him.
Right.
And it just shows the tender mercy and grace of the Lord. Because we've all done things that would be justified in to judge us. And yet he still extends that grace to us and mercy. Praise God.
You know, to all amen. The would-be troublers.
We'd be toast.
Trying to deceive the Galatians. David's own testimony is what? To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. And you know, sacrifice and burnt offerings hast thou not desired, but a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not
despise. And you see, what do you see with David, that mess up? What gets lifted up? Well, like you said, it shows the tender mercy of the Lord. It shows his gospel and what he has done and what he has completed, and at that time what he was going to do. And what gets lifted up in our lives, and where we had those screwed up situations and we turned on the Lord and he took those things and flipped them upside down? What gets glorified there? The gospel.
Jesus,
absolutely. It's a beautiful thing. And only he can do that.
Thank God every day that you get to partake of that.
Amen.
And you get to tell other people about that.
Amen.
Because that's good news, man. Everybody needs that kind of good news.
Absolutely.
Well, you might be hearing auto DJ, but my encoder still says I'm encoding. Yeah.
What does it say? The mercies of the Lord are renewed every morning. It's like, you know what? If I didn't have the mercies of the Lord every morning, I couldn't get out of bed. Couldn't have all that stuff stacked up against me.
You already lived there.
Huh?
You already lived there.
Yeah.
Before you were in Christ.
That's right.
I was there too. Wasn't a happy place, but you just figure out how to just get by.
Well, he was trying not to be able to remember it.
Yeah, I mean, first thing you know, instead of coffee, I had something else. And I don't know if it's appropriate, to be honest with you, but
yeah,
I mean, that was my coffee.
Yeah,
something that just got me off a sobering venture I couldn't deal with.
That's right. That is our nature. When we're in bondage to sin, and you see no way out. There's no way out.
Right. You're just doing the time, just trying to get through. But now in Christ you can live.
Amen.
I come that you may have life and have that more abundantly. That's what he said. I think he might have met it. I'm back in James. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. What is the right reason to ask? You know, the right reason to ask is that, you know, you may bring glory and honor to the Father.
Yeah. I remember Davey telling that story, and this is a kind of a one that comes to mind, actually, where a guy was injured, and I don't remember what the injury was, but what it was he was injured, and he was asking Davey, he goes, man, why won't the Lord heal me from this? He goes, well, why do you want to get healed? Oh, so I can become a captain of a ship again. Oh, so you want to get healed so you can go back doing your own thing. Why would God do that? Give you something that's going to destroy you.
No.
Now, if you want to get healed because you want to go and serve Him, That's a whole different motive behind that. You know, why do you want the things you want? Is it to go and serve Him with, or do you want it for your own glory? You know, it says, look, make your requests made known unto the Lord. Look, ask Him what you want. I mean, it was kind of interesting. I remember you telling me about the $3,000 mattress that Mel wanted. And this is a little thing. He loves his children. He likes giving good things to his kids. I like giving good things to my kids. I'm evil. And, you know, Mel told Scott, hey, I want this $3,000 mattress. And Scott goes, well, you're just going to have to ask the Lord for that. She did. And guess what? They found it for free. There was somebody who was giving it away. The Lord's good. He's good all around. He wants good things. But He's not going to give you something that's going to destroy you. You know, I'm not going to go give Briley, who's 8 years old, she wants a car. I'm not going to give it to her right now. She's not old enough to drive one. She'd kill herself. Well, it's not legal. There's a bunch of bad things about that. At a time, she'll get it. But now's not the time. I can remember kind of at times being car broke down. I was kind of, remember, I think it was out here. And it was kind of like, oh, man, I don't want a car. I didn't get a car for a long time. We didn't want to get a car because the Lord knew I was going to go out and do my own thing. He's been good to me. He was loving me.
Amen. But, you know, the other kind of thing is the first time I was reading the Gospels, and I'm sitting there reading John, and it's like, you know, you go. It's like the same thing go in force when you're going through Genesis and you're going, Abraham, I can't believe you're doing this. That's us, man. That's absolutely us. And you're sitting there going, Peter, come on, Peter. No, that's us. That's stupid judgment. That's just the absolute wrong conclusion to come to. It's like, that's us.
Absolutely.
I'm right there, buddy. I'm right there with you. I got the same problem.
You know, just that little bit. You know, I was talking about being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus this morning, of how we reject the gospel and the freedom that He has. I mean, in the sense, you know, you look at the children of Israel, man, they're stupid. And it's like, we turn around, we face a situation and go, oh gosh, they run, it's gonna kill me, consume me, take me over. No different. It's no different. That's the natural response. But we don't have to live there anymore is the good thing. And there's just little signs that I've seen in my life where I'm like I said, I've shared with Steve, well, you know, I said, well, I better not, you know, cause this, and he's like, what are you doing? This is the grace of the Lord. Doing the same thing, you know.
But the answer is still the same as it was, you know, then. It's like, their charge is, well, you brought us out here in the desert to die. No, that just appears to be your choice.
Yeah.
Brought you out here so you could be successful.
Amen.
So we could take, I could give you the promised land. Give you the inheritance. Say, spent the time out here learning you can trust me.
That's right.
Learning
that was one of the sayings at the conference. The Lord didn't bring us out here to fail.
That's right.
But to succeed. And we've been given every tool that we need if we will choose to do it.
Amen.
That's why I brought that particular thing up.
Absolutely. And what if we went about that with the situations at hand? What if we went into it like Joshua and Caleb did? I mean, because that's what their perspective was, man, look at the land that the Lord is going to give us. Hallelujah, praise God. I mean, that was their perspective. They didn't bring them all this way for them to fail. No, they brought them out there for the Lord to succeed. And if what if we went into our situation, our everyday situation, because we come across them all the time. In that type of manner. I kind of remember, you know, it was one of those things I remember sharing with you last night. I'm going, man, there's some things going at work. This thing looks like a fireworks show is about to go off. But, you know, what I need to do is take back that, take that perspective and say, man, what is the Lord going to do here? You know?
Well, you gotta sit back and just wait to see the Lord move in there, because you know that He's going to move mightily, one way or another.
Amen.
And just sit back and watch and say, well, praise God, you know, them giants are dead, or, you know, however it comes to pass, you know.
If you actually grab hold of that truth, that He hadn't brought you as far to fail, the disciples were thinking the same thing as they were carting Jesus off to the cross. To nailing him to the cross. When they were nailing him to the cross, that the disciples were thinking, he brought us this far and taught us all this. How is this profiting the work that you... We don't see the connection here. We thought you were going to be king. What are you doing? They didn't see the connection at all. But they did. They got it. But they were in that same place.
Sure.
You brought us this far only to go and die on us? Really?
And see, that's that carnal man rearing up. Right. That's the thing we're supposed to die to every morning. And that's that carnal thinking. It's enmity against God. It wants to think the 180 degrees. What the mind of the Lord is. And that's where He's given us freedom from that. We don't have to listen to that anymore. But even though they were told over, look, I must go to Jerusalem and die. This is going to happen, but I'll be coming back. Yeah. And I'm not going to leave you comfortless.
That's right.
I'll be with you. I mean, these are the promises that He's telling them. But when the time came, this is all, I mean, you read John, the whole prayer for him, and all the things he expounded to them, goes to the cross, and they get caught up in that whirlwind of that carnal thinking of, man, we're left out here
to die.
You know, we gotta, you know, Paul, you're talking about, we sung that song, Making War in the Heavenlies, and Paul, you're talking about making war in the heavenlies, casting every thought. Oh, man. Now it's just kind of evaded me.
Holding every thought in captivity.
Right, but before that, casting everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. See, we need to... That's where the Lord has given us everything we need to fight that battle. And that's where we need to take the Word, which is the sword. And we need to use that and cast all those things down. Put them up underneath our feet and we go forward in Him.
Let me just show you, back
to casting all your care upon Him?
Let me just
show you a thing.
While you're looking at that, or trying to find it,
it
reminds me of, what is it, Proverbs 4, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
Yeah, that's another one.
Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He shall direct thy paths. I mean, what we're looking at is our own understanding.
It
doesn't make sense.
No.
What's going on? You know, but... That's not where we need to be. We need to trust in the Lord. He said this.
Amen.
He said we're going to have a comforter. He said He would be back. He said He was going to do it. It'll be done.
Amen. And when you see that, that people, when they do step out in faith, they're all situations that you wouldn't go about naturally to go conquer. I mean, when they went to Jericho, what'd they do? They did a word fast and shouted at the walls.
Yeah.
I mean, when that woman with Elijah, when Elijah said, hey, there's not going to be rain, he tells her to go to the woman's house, and he goes, okay, well, this is our, you know, it's my last bit of food. Well, go do this and this. I mean, all those steps that he took, and I don't remember exactly what they were, that didn't make any sense at all.
In the natural. But through her obedience and her trusting the Lord in faith, then the Lord was able to work. And you see that mighty miracle right there. It glorified Him. It didn't glorify any of them.
Absolutely.
What were you bringing up?
2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It doesn't say to the obedience to Christ. It says, focus all your thoughts on the obedience of Jesus. Father, not my will, but thine. Father, not my will, but thine. And when you can grasp a hold of that, that changes you. Because otherwise you feel like you're flailing around still trying to justify your position, justify yourself. When you're trusting in Jesus' worth, Jesus' faithfulness, Jesus' performance, Jesus did it completely. It's all Jesus and nothing else.
Amen. And what you have before you enter into that, you cast all it off first. Uh-huh. You know, remember how Jesus was talking about the wine bottles? Can't put new wine in the old bottles lest they burst. You got to first cast off that old carnal man. You know, not my will be done. So you lay that will down, your own will down first. But thy's be done. Then you take upon his.
Well, there you go. I don't know where I'm going to go next, but...
How about a song?
I can't believe y'all not chomping at the bit here. I just don't understand.
You see, in the chat, with what we've been talking about here, Robin puts in that, you know, for those of you that are listening, and we could actually read what the Lord showed Brother Davey on the Fisherman Ministry website. It's called The Promise, and it shows what the crucifixion looked like to Jesus' disciples.
It's been a long time since I read that. I don't know if what I said is contradicts that or not. If I am, then I'm wrong.
Well, amen.
Yeah, and is that the one where he's talking about? Is it a sermon? Or no, it says read. Maybe it's not a sermon. I remember him talking about the sun setting and how it was a sermon that he did, and it must have been in a revival, and how the sun was setting and how to exactly see it go down, and that's how it was for the disciples when they seen the Lord go. And it was a very interesting way he put it, but I think that's something different.
Well, it sounds like we need to check it out so that we're sure on this.
Yeah, amen.
Got some homework.
Ching, ching. The constant press for me. What?
Being an idiot, Paul. That's all.
Nothing new. Nothing new.
Exactly.
The press for me is that when my thought processes start getting sideways and I start resembling Israel in the desert. And I got to remember that was called the provocation for a reason. It provoked God to wrath. And I don't want to get close to that. It's just like Hebrews says, I don't want to get close to that. There's so much else I need to be doing that is profitable both for me and for other people. And glorifies God. That's what I want to be doing. And you have it's switch. Oh, I can't believe I was going there. Lord, forgive me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to entertain that.
And that's
I'm holding every thought captive to the obedience of to Jesus. The obedience of Jesus.
And that's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not natural. That's a healthy fear. Keeps you on the straight and narrow. You know what I mean? You know, you remember, kind of reminds me of what you're saying. Yeah, that's the provocation. Provoke God to wrath. You know where it says in Proverbs, and I forget which one, or the Proverbs or Psalms, where he says, I will laugh at your calamity. You know, and have my hand out. But then when you're in the calamity you're in and you turn unto me, I'll laugh at it. Now, that's the scary part. I mean, the cup got full for some nations. cup got full for Israel. They didn't watch why they didn't enter into the promised land.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't want to fill that cup up. I'd much rather enter that grace.
Yes, they put a link in there so everybody can link up to the
teaching.
To the teaching on the website, www.thefishermanministry.org. Don't confuse things.
That reminded me of a movie. Never mind. It's trying to be funny. It wasn't too funny. My bad. Sorry.
Oh, Lord, what are we going to do with these people? What are we going to do? I don't think there's a brain between the three of us.
Four. James online.
Well, that's right. Four of us. Oh, it is. It is, you know, it is an honor, it's a privilege. And to be able to preach the Word of God, to be able to teach it, be able to talk about it, and it is an attitude change that used to scare the crap out of me, mainly because I was trying to overcomplicate it. It's simple, and when I can be happy doing that, I'm in the groove. You know, that's what he calls us to do. And I'm hoping we're pursuing something over here to my right. Are we pursuing something? Because otherwise, I'm about ready to call play on this thing. Go ahead.
Trying to pursue something.
Good.
I don't know if I pursued it quite to the finality. But, what you're talking about is that place where, you know, we trust the Lord, we don't trust ourselves. And all these thoughts that we have in our head that we need to hold captive, I mean, half of those thoughts, well, maybe all of those thoughts, they're crap. Right, they're not of the Lord. So you got to tie them things up and don't let them come out your mouth. And realize that where you need to be is in a place where you believe Him and you obey Him.
Absolutely.
And that in that obedience and with that belief comes faith and the ability to step out in it and to walk as He walked. And to do as He did, and to show others Him, not you, but Him, in His righteousness, in His power, in His glory, in His love. When we get to that place, we're doing something right.
Yeah, somebody who might be seeking. Go ahead.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Somebody who might be seeking to get the approval of men. You know, there's no one that I've ever given approval to or said, you know, that's a pretty good thing you're doing there. None of that has ever delivered anybody from sin.
Well, amen. And that approval of men, it's somewhat easy to get. You just got to make them feel good.
It is the approval of the Lord that matters.
Amen.
I want to please Him. I want to bring glory and honor to Him. That's why I'm here. That's why we're here. That's what He created us for. That's what He's recreated us for in Jesus Christ.
I think it was last week's service out of Texas, Dave, we talked about, I don't care what people think.
Right.
I care what God thinks.
Only thing that matters.
Yeah, man. And the other thing, you're talking about seeking the approval from men. That varies.
Mm-hmm. It's a moving target.
Men are all over the place. I mean, let's face it. Be pleased with you for doing one thing one day, be very displeased with doing the same thing the next. You got the approval. Other enemy of that is yourself. How many times, you know, I know, I've met people and that self-righteous standard they have in themselves, they keep trying to meet this standard and it's all nothing. It's all dumb. It's just, it's going to wind them up in hell, and they're just trying to prove themselves to be righteous. It's a burden. It's not a relief.
It's definitely easier to, with Jesus and God, because they're constant. It doesn't change.
The same yesterday, today, and forever.
And is that a surprise? It seems to be a surprise to, it's going to be a surprise to a lot of people that think that he's changed his mind. That, well, you know, all these other things that weren't acceptable in the Old Testament, they are acceptable now because he's changed his mind, he's changed how he operates. Not the case.
No, but the churches have went that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing in the garden. It's the same thing in David's Israel. It was the same thing. It's always been about love God, love one another. That was the deal before the law. That was the deal Abraham had going. And it's. Now that the law has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, it's the same thing. Love God, love one another. None of that ever changed. None of that ever changed.
One thing that, with Abraham, you bring up Abraham, and he believed in God and it was counted as righteousness, right? Yeah. Isn't that the quote? I mean, the cool thing from Abraham's perspective is he didn't have the law. He didn't even know what the law was. So he didn't have that sort of, that knowledge, that thought, mm-hmm. that, gee, maybe I'm not doing right. He never
had it hanging over him about, I'm not worthy.
Right, but we do.
Yeah.
You know, that bell's been rung. And yeah. It's real easy. It's too easy for each of us to look back to that law and compare ourselves to it, to look to one another and compare ourselves to each other, when we need to be in that place of Abraham, where none of that matters, and we just trust in God.
You know, I'm a kid, and we're reading Genesis, reading about Abraham, and I come into the Sunday school class and say, how come God talked to Abraham, and they had conversations back and forth. What, he stopped doing that, or what? Yeah, that's it. I said, that seems kind of strange to me. I said, I want to be able to do that the way Abraham does. That way I know what's going on. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He says, you know, he tells Abraham, look, we're fixing to go take Sodom and Gomorrah out. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
It mattered to him that Abraham was treated righteously, that he was cut in on what was going on.
He was his friend.
He was a friend. I didn't necessarily, I didn't buy into that. And that was always one of those little offsetting things that outlined things I never could quite get anybody to explain to me. And the truth is, he can and does. All you got to do is go to Jesus Christ and believe him. And he'll clue you in, just like you can be a friend, just like Abraham was. Might not happen overnight. Well, you know, might not happen in an instant. But he didn't bring you here to fail.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
You got, I mean, for Peter, didn't quite happen overnight. We're talking about his struggle. But it could happen overnight. I mean, you look at Paul. He turned on a dime. Either way, there's hope for us.
I spent some one-on-one time out in the wilderness.
Sure. But either way, there's hope for each and every one of us in Christ.
Absolutely. Amen. And it kind of started with Stephen. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Lay not this against the place, not to their charge.
And yeah, Stephen said pretty much what Jesus said.
A lot of times the Lord's an interesting thing. A lot of times the Lord is right there giving us the things that we need. It's right before our face. We just got to stop and listen.
I'm almost entirely sure that the Lord brought that to Paul's remembrance after the fact, that this was yet his grace and mercy to Paul. And that Stephen interceded
while they were stoning him.
Yeah, while they were killing him. You know, well, let's wrap. We're down like a minute and a half, 2 minutes now. So let's thank everybody for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope it helped in some way. Do something other than pass 57 minutes and 37 seconds of your day when you could have been doing something else. Say good evening, good afternoon to everybody, guys, and we will see you next time.
Good evening.
Good afternoon and evening to everybody.
Good evening and good afternoon, everybody. And
nobody said anything about the guys, but that's okay. Everybody thinks they're Abbott and Costello. I just don't get it. Or Laurel and Hardy is closer to the truth. Thank you for joining us this week on the Hour of Truth, and we will see you next time. Till then, y'all have a great week and a great Sunday, and may the Lord bless you.